Today's message has been brought to you by Faith Family Church in Billings, Montana. For more information, visit faithfamilybillings.com.
Well, we're going to go right from that into the series on giving here that we're doing. So if you're a guest with us this morning, we are so glad you're here. If you want a fuller span of what we have taught and preached, you can go to the website, which is faithfamilybillings.com. You can see all of our beliefs on there. You can see there are hundreds of hours of messages that are available if you want to go there and see that. But I want to talk about tithing this morning, and it's a great message for visitors. But let me just say this, okay? Let me just say this. Here at Faith Family Church, we are on purpose. Let me say this first. I'm not going to take up an offering later. We already took up the tithes and offerings. Okay? So no pressure. Don't worry about that. And this is a theme that the Lord has continually said to me throughout this process that I am to continually to reiterate to you because, some people might say, well, you're going a little overboard with this statement. Well, I'd rather err on the side of safety than not at all. You know what I mean? You have to decide for you what you're going to do. Okay? So when it comes to the area of money, Brother Hagin used to say to us, there's three ways you can quiet a crowd. Talk about marriage, talk about kids, and talk about money. And you'll just get a great calm. You know, the seas can be raucous, and all of a sudden, peace, be still. Nothing will move. But I'm going to take that as I'm teaching here, that you're looking at and thinking about and praying about what's being said. Because you, the important thing, I mean, I get, you know, some people, I think my father-in-law said this to me the other day. He said, some preachers, you know, encourage people to give and they got to have faith to give because they have no faith to receive. And I agree with that. Because I've been around preachers for 20 years. And what they preach from the pulpit often doesn't translate to the house. You know what I mean by that? They're more concerned that you, well, let me just help you with something. I'm going to eat whether you give or not. You say, that is arrogant. No, it's faith. And you ought to be glad because then I'm not going, come on, hurry up. I got to eat. I need a cheeseburger. I need a cheeseburger. Right? In other words, a soldier does not go to war on his own account. And I'm a soldier for the Lord. He has to pay me. Do you understand what I'm saying? Even if you're the prophet and everything's gone south, God has ravens that'll feed you meat. Now, he probably took them from Ahab's table. Ravens, Ahab's cooks probably cooked him a steak. And since he was trying to kill Elijah, he put the steak out there and a bird had come by and pick up the steak and fly away. He'd come out there to eat and go, where's my steak? And the prophet's going, man, this is a good steak. So in other words, God knows how to take care of us. But the scripture has tons to say about money. And so as a pastor, I have the obligation of sharing that with you. What you do with it is up to you. You need to decide. If you're married, you need to sit down, look at the scriptures, and decide what you want to do and what you feel like the Lord's telling you to do. You need to get in faith before you do anything. I said, you need to get in faith before you do anything. I don't recommend doing anything until you get in faith about it first. Well, I feel obligated. Well, you need to get the spirit of obligation off of you and get in faith and then decide what you're going to do. Because whether you are, it's not going to change how we as a church minister to you and love you. We just continue to go forward and do what God's called us to do. Amen. Okay, so let's go to Matthew 22, verse 23. The word tithe just means tenth. And I'm going to go through the tithe. I believe in tithing. There are people that don't, but either way, I'm going to catch you on the backside of it, so you'll be all right. I got something for everybody. Tithe just means tenth. It's a tenth of what your prosperity, your blessing, whatever God's blessed you with. Matthew 22:23 says this, The Lord said this, "Woe to you, scribes and Pharisees, hypocrites." Jesus was nice to them. "For you pay tithe of mint and anise and cumin and have neglected the weightier matters of the law, justice and mercy and faith." What were the weightier matters? Were the weightier matters money? The answer is no. Were the weightier matters money? No. The weightier matters were what? They were justice and mercy and faith. How many like those three things? Those are important. He said this, but then Jesus said this, "These you ought to have done without leaving the others undone. Blind guides who strain out a gnat and swallow a camel." How many have ever heard that statement before? Strain out a gnat and swallow a camel. How many have been bugged by a gnat before? So these guys were so particular, they were like, "Oh, we're going to get down into the very minutiae of things, and I'm going to tithe on every little piece of parsley that I get." That's what that means right there. I'm going to pull a tenth off of that, and then I'm going to ignore justice, mercy, and faith. Well, that's a bad idea. In other words, what was the Lord saying? He's saying, look, you're tithing on this very little thing, and then you're straining out a gnat. How many know how big of a gnat is? Just about that big, right? Very small, but you're going to turn over here and swallow a camel. How do you do that? So the point is, Jesus is using an illustration that's very demonstrative. He's saying, look, pay attention to what you're doing. Make sure you're doing these, but don't leave this undone. Okay? So I thought that was very good. Jesus is getting after the religious leaders of the day who are living a hypocritical life. They are tithing down to the leaves on their trees, but they are neglecting the weightier matters of the law, justice, mercy, and faith. He was saying that giving money does not take the place of living right. God is not interested as much in a person's money as he is in his heart. But Jesus did say that a person should tithe. Look at this verse in the Living Bible. Okay, here's the Living Translation. Matthew 23:23. "Yes, woe upon you, Pharisees." And he says, "And you other religious hypocrites. You tithe down to the last mint leaf in your gardens, but ignore the important things, justice and mercy and faith. Yes, you should tithe, but you shouldn't leave the more important things undone. Blind guides, you strain out a gnat and swallow a camel." In the book, The Midas Touch, page 84, it says this, "Although the majority of biblical references to the tithe are clearly part of the Old Covenant, the fact of the matter is that tithing was not introduced under the law. It was merely regulated under the law. Tithing originated as an act of faith, and faith transcends both Old and New Covenants. And by faith is how we should tithe today, not as an act of legalism." Genesis chapter 14, verse 18. "Abraham gave tithes 400 years before Moses and the law." Genesis chapter 14, verse number 18 says this, "Then Melchizedek, king of Salem, brought out bread and wine. He was the priest of God Most High. And he blessed him and said, 'Blessed be Abraham of God Most High, possessor of heaven and earth. And blessed be God Most High, who has delivered your enemies into your hand.' And he gave him a tithe of all." Verse 21. "Now the king of Sodom said to Abram, 'Give me the persons and take the goods for yourself.'" So in other words, Abram went to war and he possessed all these things that Sodom and Gomorrah had been stolen from. He got them all back. And the only reason he went to war is because he loved Lot and his family. He didn't go to war because he just needed to go to war. Lot was his nephew, for lack of a better word, I guess. And he wanted to rescue him so that he wasn't put into slavery and his family wasn't put into slavery. So he did that. He rescued him. And in the process, he got all the people back and he got all the goods, all the money and all of that stuff back. And then the king of Sodom came to him and said, "Look, just keep all the stuff. I just want the people." And that's what the king of Sodom is doing right here. And he said, "But Abram said to the king of Sodom," I love this. Now think about this. He said, "I have raised my hand to the Lord God Most High, the possessor of heaven and earth, that I will take nothing from the thread to a sandal strap, and that I will not take anything that is yours, lest you should say, 'I have made Abram rich.'" So what is Abraham doing here? He is showing the conviction of his heart concerning money. He just got all the money from Sodom and Gomorrah back in his hands. He went to war. He fought for it. But he has such love for God, such faith in God, that he says, no, I want none of your money. You keep it all. You can have it all, because I don't want you to go around telling everybody, yeah, I made Abram rich. You know, it was me. I'm the king of Sodom. I'm the man. I gave Abram everything he had. Other than he keeps a tenth of it. And what does he do with that? He gives it back to God. Isn't that interesting? You're not talking about a little bit of possessions here. This is a city of people's possessions. And most people, if they had in their hand the checkbook to the city, don't think about your politicians. They would spend it on themselves. Most people would not step into that place of faith of going, no, I don't want any of this stuff. I'm going to believe God, because only my life will be a legacy of believing God and Him meeting my needs. Isn't that awesome? That's powerful. Such a good, healthy, mature, strong perspective on faith versus finances. Such a good place. He says, except only, verse 24, what the young men have eaten and the portion of the men who went with me, and then he names them. That's the only thing he took. Genesis 18, 19 says this, that this is concerning Isaac and Jacob gave tithes and lived. They also lived before the law. Genesis 18, 19. It says this about Abraham. For I have known him, talking about Abraham, in order that he may command his children and his household after him, and that they keep the way of the Lord to do righteousness and justice, that the Lord may bring to Abraham what he has spoken to him. So what did Abraham teach? He commanded his children after him that they keep the way of the Lord. Or in other words, Isaac was trained to live by word and deed from his father, and his father tithed. Isn't that interesting? Genesis 28:20. This is Jacob. It says this, then Jacob made a vow saying, if God will be with me and keep me in this way that I am going, and give me bread to eat and clothing to put on, so that I come back to my father's house in peace, then the Lord shall be my God. And this stone which I have set as a pillar shall be God's house. And listen to this, and of all that you give me, talking about the Lord, I will surely give a tenth to you. Where do we get everything we have? From God. So what did Jacob declare back to the Lord? What did he say? He said, now this is before the law, keep in mind. What did he say? He said, of all that you give me, I will give you a tenth. Okay? I will give you a tenth. Isn't that good? Hebrews chapter 7. Hebrews chapter 7. Some people don't believe Paul was the writer of Hebrews, but I do. Hebrews chapter 7. Remember, at the very least, you ought to jot this down and take it before the Lord. Amen? And decide, hear from the Lord. What is he telling you? Hebrews chapter 7. For this Melchizedek, verse 1, king of Salem, priest of the Most High God, who met Abraham returning from the slaughter of the kings and blessed him, to whom also Abraham gave a what? Tenth part of all. First being translated king of righteousness, then also king of Salem, meaning king of peace, without father, without mother, without genealogy. Who do you think that is? Having neither beginning of days nor end of days. Having neither beginning of days or end of days? That's the Lord. Having neither beginning of days or end of days. I like that. but made like the Son of God, remains a priest how long? Continually. Verse 4, now consider how great this man was to whom even the patriarch Abraham gave a tenth of the spoils. And indeed, whom those who are the sons of Levi, who received the priesthood, have a commandment to receive tithes from the people according to the law. That is, from their brethren, though they have come from the loins of Abraham. Watch this now. But he whose genealogy is not derived from them received tithes from Abraham and blessed him who had the promises. So, in other words, Melchizedek blessed Abraham. How many know that the blessing of the Lord is better than all the money in the world? Verse 7, now beyond all contradiction, you know, Paul says this here, beyond all contradiction, the lesser is blessed by the better. It doesn't even matter how much you give to God. You're the lesser. Amen. It doesn't matter. It makes no difference. I mean, you could give God, you could write him a check. You could say, God, I'm going to give you $1 trillion. And he's going to go, thank you, that blesses me. But guess what? You're still the lesser. He holds the universe like that. Your checks don't impress him. Your bank account doesn't impress him. What impresses him? Faith in the heart to him. Come on, think about it. What did Jesus do? What if we did this here? This would be great, wouldn't it? All in the Old Testament, you know, they had these coffers around the front entrance, and people put their money in it, slide down in there, and then go into some sort of storage unit, and the priest would go get it later. And that's how they gave their tithes. You know what Jesus was doing? He's standing at it, watching people. What if I stood over you during offering? What you doing there? And then Jesus is going, but think about the love that's oozing out of this man, out of the Son of God. The widow comes up and she gives all she has, and how much was it? Like two mites, right? Nothing, right? Pennies, right? And she gives it. And what's Jesus say? She gave more than all y'all. See, you read the New King James Version and you think it was like that. But Jesus would talk like we talk if he was here today. You realize that? He would. He looked at the offering, goes in, he goes, she beat y'all. And all these guys, you know, they're all wealthy guys that are coming and they're giving to the king. And he goes, she gave more. She gave way more than, and some of them are looking at her two mites and going, my check says $10,000. Two pennies, $10,000. How could she give more? Because she gave from a place of faith. She gave from a place of what? Faith. That's what God's looking for. And without a doubt, what? We are blessed by the greater. Amen? Hallelujah. So he says this in verse 8. Here mortal men receive tithes, but there he receives them, of whom it is witnessed that he lives. See, he's receiving the money that is given. We receive offerings and tithes here, but who's receiving them? He is. He sees. He knows. Amen. That's so good. I'm thankful. Even Levi, who receives tithes, paid tithes through Abraham, so to speak. Now think about this. For he was still in the loins of his father when Melchizedek met him. So, was Levi on the planet when Abraham tithed? No, but what did God do? He looked at what Abraham did and went, Levi's somewhere in the loins. Bless him. That's what he did. That's what that's saying right here. So what am I doing when I give? I'm blessing my kids. Yeah, that's a pretty big deal. If you've ever given anything out of faith, I don't care if it's money, I don't care if it was your time, I don't care if it was your car, I don't care if it was your fishing boat. Come on, Jesus borrowed Peter's fishing boat. Have you ever read that story? What happens right after that? Huge catch. But did Peter hand a check? Did he hand a cash money to Jesus? What did he do? He said, Lord, everything I have is yours. Here's my boat. Go ahead, preach on it. So he went ahead and preached. It'd be like me coming to you and going, hey, I need to borrow your truck. I'm going to back it up to the some sort of event that's going on, Montana Fair, I'm going to stand in the back of it and preach the gospel. And then afterwards, let's say you're, I don't know, what kind of business needs a truck? Let's say you haul stuff. And right afterwards, I say, go see so-and-so. They're going to fill your truck with stuff up to haul, and then you can deliver it. See, it's just the same as what Peter happened with Peter and Jesus, because Jesus said, hey, Peter, throw your net on the out in the water and drag up a catch. And he said, and Peter said, we've been fishing all night, but Lord, at your word, go ahead. We're going to do it. And what did he do? The Bible says he hauled in so much fish that what? It sunk his boat and his partner's boat. But did Peter hand him a money, a pile of money, a bunch of gold or silver? No, he did not. What did he do? He gave him of himself, of his things, back to the Father. And what did the Father do? He blessed what Peter put in his hand to use. Isn't that good? People say, well, I don't have any money to give. Well, what do you have to give? Do you have a handshake to give? Do you have a smile to give? Do you have love to give? Can you be a friend to your neighbor? Do you have enough gas in your mower to mow their lawn? Come on, I need you to think outside the box. I need you to think outside the box. I need you to think about what other options you have. What do you have in your closet that you never wear that would be a blessing to someone else? Now, they have to be the same size as you. But I got this shirt for you, Sean. Here you go. It's extra small. It ain't going to work on me. I don't care how much weight I lose. I will never be extra small. You say, what are you getting at? When you get close to God, you will become givey happy. You say, what do you mean? For God so loved the world that he gave. But if you can't do it with looking at the other person going, or the situation going, God, I love you more than anything else, and I just want to bless them, then don't give it yet. I've had people give me stuff or want to bless me with stuff, and I've heard stories about this too. And they're like, you know, kind of hanging on to it when they give it to you. The Lord told me to give this to you. And you go to take it, and they're kind of, you know, maybe you ought to keep it. You said you would tell them to keep it? Yeah, I would. Because if they give that way, there's no blessing. If they give that way, there's no blessing. You know, these messages have rocked me. Because I'm reading these scriptures going, God, I don't give like that all the time. And he's going, exactly. That's the point. You need to change your attitude in what you're doing. You need to mature and develop in it. See, this is what I found out about God over the years. When you're in a good place with him, you're pliable. If you're always rigid and I don't like that message, you're doing that to God. Oh, no, I'm not. If you've done it under the least, you've done it unto him. If you have that, oh, I'm just not going to do, and it's not like that's a false doctrine thing. It's more like, I don't want anything to do with this. You got to be careful. Because I've noticed this in my own life. I've gotten cynical about things that I shouldn't in the church that are legitimately scriptures. And the reason why I did, legitimately true, the reason why I did is because I saw abuses in the area. Well, God doesn't rewrite the Bible because people abuse what he said. He doesn't change. We have to change. Remember, I've said this over and over and over again, and this is true concerning my life more than ever before, and it will continue to be. In the relationship between me and God, I never have to sit down and go, God, here are the areas I would like you to change in. 110% of the time, if there is a disjointment, a disagreement, if there is something wrong between me and the Lord, it is my fault. I'm the one that has to change, not him. I mean, thank God for his mercy. Oh, my goodness. He'll come and he'll just sit. He'll find you in the pig pen and go, we got to go. That doesn't smell good on you. We then, by faith, follow the example of Abraham in giving tithes. When we give our tithes unto Christ, the Bible says in Ephesians that when God raised Jesus from the dead, he gave him to be the head over all things to the church, which is his body. That's found in Ephesians 1, 22 and 23. So when we pay tithes to Christ, the head, they flow to his body, the church. Through the church, we have the great privilege of giving to Jesus to do his will and work. I believe if every Christian would be faithful in tithing and giving, there would be more than enough funds for the church to carry out its mission in the world. Listen to this, it's interesting. Researchers have found that amazingly few born-again Americans tithe regularly, that's a big word for me, and a surprisingly large number give nothing at all. They don't give anything. He said, imagine what could be accomplished if all Christians were faithful in their giving, tithing and giving. Imagine what could happen, the outreaches, everything that can happen in impacting a culture. It's so great. Malachi chapter 3, verse 10. And we'll end here. It says, bring all the tithes into the storehouse that there may be food in my house, and try me now in this, says the Lord of hosts. Look at this. If I will not open for you the windows of heaven and pour out for you such blessing that there will not be room enough to receive it. And I will rebuke the devourer for your sakes so that he will not destroy the fruit of your ground, nor shall the vine fail to bear fruit for you in the field, says the Lord of hosts. And all nations will call you what? Blessed, for you will be a delightful land, says the Lord of hosts. I got this from Brother Hagin, but he said, the next time you take out your tithe envelope, say, Lord, I'm doing this by faith. I'm giving for the purpose of keeping the local church going, which is benefiting the body of Christ by helping people. I'm helping spread the gospel so that people can be saved. Thank you, God, for making it possible for me to be a part of your work. I am giving in faith and expectancy to be blessed according to your word. Isn't that good? Motivations for giving. Here are five. Because I love God, number one. Because I want to obey God, number two. Because I want to support the Great Commission and the church, number three. Number four, because I want to see people blessed. Notice that none of these are because I want a 10,000-fold harvest. You say, you don't believe in harvest. Yet the last one is because I am planting seeds for my own needs. In other words, you believe in harvest, son. Yes, but why are you giving? Why? Why are you doing what you're doing? If it's just out of religious duty and I got to, and if I don't do it, God's going to strike me with lightning. No, he's not. He's not. Last, 2 Corinthians 9. Actually, 2 Corinthians 8, verse 15. So let's just look at it from the New Testament here. And I'm going to just give you a principle that is just flat true when it comes to money. And really a lot of things, but this is specifically talking about money. Whether you believe in tithe or don't believe in tithe, whatever you come up with as far as what you feel like, you know, if you feel like you can do or be in faith about, I will tell you this. There is no harvest without a seed. People will quote their scripture to me. Well, he provides seed for the sower. Yeah, for the sower. Oh, I love it when people come quote half verses to me. Because it happens all the time. People will pick out a certain part of the verse. It's like, you know, in Christ I found my life. I found my life. You don't find your life until you lose your life. If you haven't lost your life, it's the reason why you haven't found it. You can't find it without losing it. It's impossible. It's unbiblical. If you're going to find your life in Christ, you have to lose you. And you can wander around. People go, what's wrong? He said, I lost myself. They'll think you're nuts. You said, don't worry, I found Jesus. 2 Corinthians 8:15. As it is written, he who gathered much had nothing left over. And he who gathered little had what? No lack. How could that be? Because the one who gathered little sowed seed. You have to sow a seed to have a harvest. Amen. 2 Corinthians 9:6. But this I say, he who sows what? Sparingly will also reap. And he who sows bountifully will also reap. Now, forget the tenth, okay? Just forget the tithe at all. What does that verse say? He who sows what? Sparingly will also reap. And he who sows bountifully will also reap. So how do you want to reap? Don't get mad at God if it's sparing, if you sowed sparing. You say, you're telling me what to sow. I did not write that verse. It does not say Sean International Version at the end of it. This verse was put in the Bible specifically for those who are irritated about preachers preaching about money. You say, how can you laugh about this? Because I know where I've sown. It doesn't matter what you do. The Lord is with me. Amen? This is not a thing. And people say, well, I just can't give. Well, then find a place where you can if you can't give here. Fine. I understand. I understand people have been through terrible things. Listen, I've been offering to death in a service before. Literally, to death. It was like going to the dentist. And now for this offering. And now for this offering. And now for this offering. And now we're going to give in this offering and this offering. I'm going, I don't have any teeth left. But I will tell you this, it never stopped me from giving what the Lord told me to give. Why? Because I'm not giving to a man. I'm giving to God. Come on. You have to get this right with the Lord. This isn't about me and you. This is about you and the Lord. Amen? You got to find that place. Get alone with the Lord. Get into the scriptures. Amen? Look at what the Lord says in 2 Corinthians 9, 7 through 9. So let each one give as he is what? Purposes in his heart. Not grudgingly or under necessity. So in other words, they're not pounding it out of you. For God loves a cheerful giver. And God is able to do what? Make all grace abound toward you, that you always having what? All sufficiency in all things may have an abundance for what? Every good what? What's the word on the end? Oh, that's like a cuss word to some Christians. Every good work. So that I can go do whatever I want, whenever I want, and not even serve God. Kingdom advancement is what this is for. The blessing of God is not just for toys. It's for souls. It's for souls. And I'll just warn you in advance. I thought this was great that the Lord had me teach on this. Because coming into the 2018-19 school year, we are going to win souls. I am going to, and you are, plunder hell and populate heaven. The Lord has established us. He's given us a home. It's time to bring in harvest so we can disciple them and grow them and develop them and send them back out. Amen? And that will be the purpose that we will function in. At least, you know, of course, we'll still have our discipleship and all that. But we are going to win souls. So, stand with me. Next week, I have a testimony coming. Ann Beeler is going to share. She was, how many have ever heard of Big Sandy? It's a metropolis. I mean, it's just a massive place of Big Sandy. Her and her husband years ago were farmers there, and she talked about how she shared with me when they started tithing and giving, and what happened to them. Literally, rain would come and rain on their farmland and not on the neighbors. Yeah, you like that? I'd say, Lord, let it rain on me. Amen? Hallelujah. Would you bow your heads with me? Father, we just thank you for your word. Lord, we thank you for your love for us, Lord, and for the opportunity to be kingdom workers. To just be in your family, Lord, is such a blessing. To have your joy, to have your peace. But Lord, we won't take lightly the commission that you've given us. And Lord, it's just concerning the area of money, Lord, I just ask that you open the eyes of your people. Lord, that you would show them and deal with them in the areas where you, what you have for them and what you desire for them. And as they follow in obedience to you in faith, Lord, I thank you that you are going to bless them. Lord, we give first and foremost and have given out of just obedience to you and love for you in the advancement of your kingdom. And so I thank you, Father, that out of the sowing comes the reaping. And I thank you for harvest. You should just say this. Lord, I thank you for harvest. Now listen to me. Expect it to come. Expect it to come. So, Father, I thank you for today and your word. And I'll just say this, if there's anybody here that isn't right with the Lord, or you need the baptism of the Holy Spirit, or you need prayer for anything, don't hesitate to come. If you're not sure where you're going when you die, you come see me right after service. If you're not sure that you're born again or you've backslidden from the Lord, you come see me right after service. If you're not sure that for a fact that you're going to heaven when you die and you want to know for sure, you come see me. Father, we thank you for the rest of today. Lord, we thank you for the food that you've provided for us, for the fun that we're going to have at the park today. Lord, we just bless that time and bless that food right now so we can just eat when we get there. Glory to God. Father, you're good to us. We plead the blood of Jesus over us as we play ultimate frisbee. And in Jesus' name, we thank you. Everybody said, amen. God bless you guys. We'll see you at Veterans Park at 1.
Thank you for taking the time to listen today. If you would like more information about Faith Family Church, including service times and location, visit faithfamilybillings.com.